It's always good to be able to share with you this morning, and thank you for that opportunity as I share from God's Word. Do you know this morning that God loves you? God loves you. That is something that hopefully brings a lightness to your step and a joy to your heart to know God loves you. I haven't been asked very often in my life, but every once in a while someone will ask me, when you went to seminary, what are the things that you were taught? What are the things that you all talked about? Well, most of the time in seminary, we're usually sitting in the cafeteria, and there usually were some times during that we would sit around, and there was usually some kind of theological discussion going on. Now, I like theology with the best of them, but I'm not much for sitting and just talking and wasting time. But I would often sit there and just listen to what they were talking about. And if you know me very well, I'm not one that has, I'm a man of few words, usually. This is just who I am. And I hope when I speak it means something. But as I was listening one day, they were talking about God's love. And one of the persons that was in that group made mention or said something like this. Well, you know what? I would really like to be able to be taught something more important than God's love. Okay. Now, me being a man of few words, I had to speak up on that one. Because I had to say, well, in my early 20s, had to say, you know, I don't understand God's love. I don't even understand why He loves me. And I suspect I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to figure that out. So to me, that's the most important thing, that God loves me. When I was a summer missionary, one of the great things that I was able to do, God blessed me to do, was to be a summer missionary in my junior year in college. And we went to Los Angeles. I think I might have shared with you a little bit about that maybe before. Inner city Los Angeles. And we, most of the summer, we did vacation Bible schools and backyard Bible clubs. And we went to several different churches, went to several different settings. One of the particular churches we went to was in the inner city, of course. And as we shared with these children, and we had a lot of children, we had about 50 or 60 children that came. And as the week went on, I began to realize that a lot of these children had come from broken homes. Many of them didn't know their fathers. Many of them didn't know a lot of their relatives. And we expressed and we used the theme that week, which was that God loved you. God loves you. Throughout all of that week, we were hammering into those children that maybe they didn't have someone in their life that was an example, but God loved them. Well, the pastor who had been in and out the whole week decided that he wanted to speak at the end of that vacation Bible school. And so he got up. And he started to preach. Now, we're talking about kids, you know, and about 15 minutes into him preaching to them, I was hoping that most of them were probably asleep by then, or very, very tired, because he made this statement. If you do not love God, God does not love you. Now, I was 20 years old, and I knew that was wrong. I knew that was wrong. And I want to assure you that he was wrong this morning. He is still wrong. God loves you. And if there's anything, and you've already heard me say it three or four times or more, if there's anything that you get out of the sermon this morning, I want you to be able to walk out of here today and say, God loves me. For the scripture is very plain in 1 John that God's very essence is love. God is love. All of who God is love. And He shares that and gives that to us. And I want you to be able to hold on to that as you come and leave today. Now, the New Testament has many verses about that, and we're going to talk about some of those. But I want to go back to an Old Testament story, Hosea chapter 3, that illustrates God's love to us. Now, again, this is specifically written to the nation of Israel, and God shows through Hosea that he loves him despite of all the things that they're doing and all the things that's going on in their country at that particular time. And we find that God calls Hosea to marry a woman named Gomer, and he does marry her, and they have three children, and all those names of those children signify something about what's going on in the nation of Israel at that particular time. And then we find in chapter 2, verse 5, that Gomer leaves Hosea and the children. And she goes off to find other things. She goes off to find other lovers. She goes off to find the things of this world. And then we find, as we find in our text this morning, and let's begin to read that in chapter 3 of Hosea, what God says to Hosea about Gomer. Then the Lord said to me, "Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to their own gods and love raisin cakes. So I brought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, 'You shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so I will also be towards you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, and without ephod or whole household idols. Afterwards, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days.'" So we find here God calling Hosea to go. Go and love Gomer again. Go and love the person that you already love, that you care about. Go and find her and bring her home. Go and find her and bring her home. You see, we see in this example of Hosea and Gomer that God's love brings redemption. You see, the story of Homer or of Hosea and Gomer is a story of redemption. It is a story of Hosea going and redeeming his wife. But it is also, again, an illustration of God redeeming the nation of Israel. You see, here is Gomer, who has completely forsaken her family, has left her children, has forsaken that relationship. She is now lost. She has now went after other men. She has went after other relationships. And those relationships have basically bruised and hurt her. Those relationships have went against her. And now she finds herself in the slave market. She is now in the market getting ready to be auctioned off, because she has found someone that really doesn't want her anymore. No matter how much she may love them and care for them, they don't want Gomer anymore. And Hosea goes to that market. Now again, most markets, these are very degrading places. And Gomer is probably there, stark naked, ashamed. And here she looks up and there's Hosea. And not only was Hosea sitting there, he's not going there and going, "Look, I see that was going to happen to you, see? What was going to happen to you?" No, he starts to bid. He starts to bid. He says, "I'll pay this, I'll pay that," so that he can redeem her back. Gomer was used and abused and thought that she would bring that all of that stuff, all those things, getting away from Hosea would give her fulfillment and give her the joy that she sought. But here's the one that really truly loved her, there in the slave market, there redeeming her. She was a slave to sin. She was a slave to her own. And as we see Gomer there, we can see ourselves. Slave to sin. Slave to our own ways. Choosing to do what we want to do. And there is God in the person of Jesus standing there and saying, I have paid for him. You see, in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. We were helpless. We were lost. We had no way out. Just as Gomer was sitting there, she had no way. She could not control what was going to happen to her in her life. She had no idea where she was going and what was going to happen to her. We had no idea. Without Christ, we were lost. But at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God's love brings our redemption, redeems us from that sin, and gives us back to the one that truly loves us. For Hosea loved Gomer, and that's where she needed to be. And he was willing to redeem her and bring her back. God's love brings our redemption. It brings us back to him. But not only does it bring our redemption, God's love is sacrificial. You know, it cost Hosea to bring Gomer back. What does it say there in verse 3? So he bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. So he basically, 15 shekels of silver, about 500 pounds of barley. He sacrificed to be able to bring her back to him. But not only, you know, one of the things I think of also is that he not only sacrificed something material for her, but he sacrificed his pride. You know, I'm thinking that people probably had a pretty good idea that this used to be his wife. It used to be his wife, and she left him. And now he's coming back, and he's buying her back. What is he doing? So he's given away not only his material things, but in some ways, maybe even be given away his own pride. You know, Romans continues to say there in chapter 5, verses 5 through 7, or 7 through 8, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's Hosea. Here he is. Why would anyone die for or even give away his money for someone that has hurt him so bad, that has went against him, that has left him for other men? But he gave up his pride. He gave because he loved her and wanted her back. I dare say, again, he demonstrated a lot of his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, years ago, I went to a Bible camp, and it was really a revival camp is what it was, and we had several different preachers that preached several different sermons, and one of the sermons was on Romans chapter 5. And he preached specifically on these verses. And one of the things he started talking about is he was talking about his own son. And he said, here's Christ, here's God that gives up his own son, gives up his own son for a world that would spit in his face. That was the exact words. A world that could care less what happened to him. But he gave up that son. I wouldn't give up my son for one of you out here. Not one of you. But Christ gave his Son up for you. God's love is sacrificial. God's love sacrificed for him. God's love brings that sacrifice to us through Jesus Christ. Of course, the verse that we memorize and know very well, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you know how radical that verse is? And especially how radical it was when Jesus spoke it. Because he spoke it to a Jewish person. He spoke it to a person that understood the law. A person that would have said, if Jesus had said, "For God so loved the Jewish people that he gave his only begotten Son," he'd have been okay with that. He'd have been fine with that. But he understood when Jesus said the world, who did he mean? Not only Jewish people. He meant everybody. Everybody. This was very, very radical for him to say that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He gave for everyone. That was a very radical thought. And he's witnessed by and mistreated by the Roman soldiers, ridiculed, beaten. And as we look at that scripture, as we look at what he is saying there, to understand how radical and how sacrificial that is. And what was going on there, to understand that Christ was beaten, that Christ endured all of this for us to be able to be accepted by him. I'm reminded of a story of a little boy as he was making a boat, and he began to work really, really hard on this boat. And he put so much work on it that there was even a feeling of loving and caring for that boat. And he finally got it to the point where he could take it out and sail it and put it out on a little pond close to his house. And as he did that, he got there and he put it in there, and he wondered if it was going to work. You know, he didn't know for sure if it was really going to work or not, but it did. And then a little puff of air got in that boat, and it took off, and before he knew it, it was gone. And he jumps in the boat, or jumps in the little pond there, and he tries to get to it, and before he couldn't get to it. It was gone. So he goes home, and he's crying, and his dad and mom are saying, what's the problem? He says, "I made this boat," and then they said, "Well, did it sink?" And he goes, "No, it didn't sink. It floated real well. It went great. But now it took all. I couldn't get to it, and it's gone." So they tried to help him and tried to help him feel good. And a few weeks later, he's walking. He goes by the Goodwill store, and there's his boat. His boat's there, sitting there in the window. And he said, "Well, I'm going to go in and get my boat." So he walks in and he goes up to the counter and says, "That's my boat. I want my boat back." And he says, the owner of the place says, "Well, no. I mean, somebody came in and gave that to us, and you can buy it. It's $5." "No, though, that's my boat. I want my boat." He says, "No. You come back with $5 and you can have that boat." So he goes out and he starts to save his money, and he works hard, and he finally gets his $5, and he comes back and he buys that boat. And as he's walking out the door, he says, "Your boat, you're mine now. I not only made you, but now I have bought you. And now you're redeemed." He bought that boat again, just as Jesus has not only made us, but he has bought us with that price. He is, God has sacrificed for us through Jesus Christ to have that, to have the resurrection, have the life that we have. The example of Jesus on the cross, as we are reminded of Jesus as he's hanging there on the cross, to remind it as they were nailing him to the cross, he was saying to us, I love you. As they were pulling from his beard, he was saying, I love you. As they were beating him to a pulp, to a place where we could hardly recognize who he was, he was saying, I love you. When they were hurling insults at him, when they were telling him all kinds of things and saying, you cannot be the Son of God, he was saying, I love you. I love you. God's love was sacrificial. It endured and showed us the power of his redemption. God's love also, when we find, as we look at Hosea, you know, so Hosea could have bought her back, could have bought Gomer back and said, okay, I bought you back, I brought you home, you're no longer a slave, but I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. You know, you blew it, don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Just go ahead, you know, you can live here, but I don't want anything to do with you. But it says again in verse 3, then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days, you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man, so I will also be towards you. See, he said, yeah, there's some stipulations, but I still want to have a relationship with you. God seeks relationship with us. God's love seeks a relationship with us. He wants to be with us. No, despite what we have done, despite what she had done, Hosea still wanted to restore that relationship. He still wanted to restore that relationship. God wants to do that with us too. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God continually looks to us. Now, child of God, you know, earlier as I've spoken to you, I'm talking to someone that doesn't know Christ. But as a child of God, God continues to come to us. And as we are walking away from him at any time in our life, he wants to restore that relationship to us. God wanted to restore, or Hosea wanted to restore that relationship with Gomer. He wanted to show to her that he loved her, despite what had happened, despite what she had done. And he wants us to have that new relationship that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians, that we are a new creature, that we are a new person. And God restores that relationship as we come to him. You know, there shouldn't be anything in our life that contends with our relationship with God. There shouldn't be a thing. But if we are honest about it, there are some things, aren't there? There are some times in our life when things or people or situations contend for our love for God. And God calls to us and says, I love you, and I want to continue to seek relationship with you. And I will continue to do that no matter what it is. I love you, and I continue to show that to you. The last thing I want to share with you this morning is that God's love overcomes. God's love overcomes. In verses 4 and 5, he wanted to have that relationship with her, but for the sons of Israel will remain for many days with king or prince without sacrifice or sacred pillar and without ephod or household idols. Afterwards, the son of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and his goodness in the last days. So there would be some time, there would be some things that would happen, but the nation of Israel will return. The nation of Israel will return to him. You know, God's love would overcome. God's love would overcome all that was happening with the nation of Israel as they sought him. Once again, God would love Israel. Many of you know that what I do for a living is a hospice chaplain. And one of the precious verses that I often read is found in Romans chapter 8. And this is verses that, if they're able to tell me, verses that they want to hear, verses that they want to listen to, because it illustrates to us that God's love overcomes everything, and that God's love even overcomes death. Let me read those beautiful words of Paul. Romans chapter 8, verses 31, starting with 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who has raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. They love to hear that because they're at the end of their life. And they want to hear the words that Paul speaks to us, that there is not anything in this world that can overcome the love of God. God's love wins. Doesn't matter what it is. God's love wins. There's not a thing that can overcome it. In the last days of our life, I hope that we can hold in the days to now, of course, to hold on to that understanding that God's love overcomes. See, God's love overcame for the nation of Israel. Hosea's love was an example of God's love overcoming for his relationship with Gomer. And God's love overcomes and for us this morning, and nothing in our life separates us from the love of God. Nothing that can happen. How deep is our Father's love? Very deep. Very deep. We're going to have a time of imitation, a time to respond to what God has shared with you this morning. And I don't know where you're at. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, please understand, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only son. And he gives that son to you this morning. You may be a child of God that has wandered away as Gomer has. Gomer wandered away from what God had for her. But God is a God of a second chances. God is the one that will give you new life, give you life again if you come to him today. And as we have this time of attention, let's stand and let me pray with you as we begin that this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for the love that is beyond our understanding, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we have this time, that we are reminded of how deep your love is for us. and may we respond to it as you lead us and call us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.